Good morning, Life Spring.
Good morning.
Good morning to those online watching. Again, if you are watching online, would you let us know? Just say, good morning, Life Spring. As we mentioned last week, we have someone who watches from Niles, Michigan on a weekly basis. I'm so glad to see all of you here. We have some announcements to make, but before we get to the announcements, we're going to work with our tithe and offering. Now, how many of you know, just raise your hand, what John 3:16 says? You could quote it for me, right? You could quote it, right? John 3:16. Apparently some people in the back don't know because they don't raise their hand. They're not raising their hand, right? But I'll even help you out. For God so loved the world, what happens after that? Him would have, would not perish, everlasting life or eternal life, right? So that verse tells you something about how does God show love? He, look at the verse. How does God show love? He gave. He gives. Now, can anyone quote Romans 8:32? Romans 8:32. No?
Yes, he gave his only son. How will he not also freely give us all things?
Uh-huh. How will he not? So if he gave us his only son, how will he not all give us all things, right? That's what it says. Will he not give us all things? So in other words, God shows love by giving. We give our worship. We give our praise. We give our time. The worship team spent time practicing. You know, Patty practices several weeks ahead, and every night Kevin gets to enjoy that at home, as well as the kids. Then she invites family to join her, and they practice. That's time sacrificed, right? God defines giving as a way of love. So this morning, we get to show God love in our giving. It's our resources. It's our time. It's our, you name it, when there's an aspect of giving of yourself. So do we have two people who could get the usher? I'm not sure who the ushers were this morning. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you gave us your son, and you said, will you not give us all other things? There's so many more things that you're ready to give us, just like you gave us the word regarding how you're going to extend our tent pegs, our tent lines, for the new thing that you're doing. You said in your word in Isaiah, you said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? I mean, are you catching on? Are you following up? Are you seeing what I'm saying? And do you believe me and take me at my word? So, Father, we bless this offering today and say, it is yours, Lord, that you give us wisdom as how we use it and steward the money that you give us so that we could expand the kingdom in Elkhart County. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to make a couple announcements. March 20th, the women's study is at 6:30 on a Wednesday. And they're going to go through questions 8 through 14 for the discussion in the living room. And the men are going to meet on a Tuesday, March 26th. And we're using the book, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. And so our third announcement, I'm going to leave it to Jim, and we'll go from there.
Good morning.
The word that Sister Londa gave this morning started off with what? Extend your tent stakes. That means there's something we got to do. God gives the increase, but we have a part to play in it. And it's not something actually that we have to do. It's the opportunity that we have that God gives us to be a part of growth in this particular body. So I've been commissioned to stand up here this morning and let you know that on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we're asking all of you to get involved in the process and invite somebody to come to church. Now, in Proverbs, it says that he who wins souls is wise. That is to say, he's blessed, and he's using an intelligent approach to his success. It's exactly what the word means. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says that some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Now, look at me for a second. When you invite somebody to come to church, you are involved in the planting process. All right? That's now you may be involved in actually leading somebody to the Lord. And in that case, you would be working in cooperation with God because he's the one that gives the increase. But every single one of us are called to be evangelists. The Great Commission, the first part of the Great Commission is that you go out and you share the gospel. And what I'm telling you this morning is that when you invite somebody to come and hear the gospel, you are doing exactly the role that God has called you to do. So we have prepared, or the church has prepared these invitation cards. And where will they be? Hand them out right now. All right. And what we'd like for you to do is, and this, I know this is going to take some of you out of your area of comfort, but I want you to go somebody in the next week and give them this card. Let the card do the speaking for you. You don't have to be a theologian to invite somebody to church. Let the card do the speaking for you. Present it to somebody and even invite them to come. Now, I'm a little bit ahead of myself here, so if I'm out of line, just tell me. And I know my wife's going to kill me for this. In our churches, Becky always baked little loaves of bread, and then we would give those to all the visitors. And some weeks she was making a lot of bread. So I asked her, why don't you make some bread for Easter Sunday, and we'll give that to each one of the visitors that come. Yes?
I didn't answer you.
I know. But since you are a submissive wife, so would that be all right with the leadership if we had little loaves of bread, Fernando? It'd be good.
I think you should let the elders test them first.
Let
the what?
Test. The elders test first.
Just in case.
I knew an elder. Oh, wow. Anyways. We're going to have a great service on Easter Sunday. We want you to invite somebody and be a part of the process of not only bringing them into the church, but bringing them into the kingdom. All right? God bless you.
Fernando, I'm sorry. I want to add an addendum.
Somebody wants to keep stealing the show here.
I don't. But so Jim has the gift of evangelism. I mean, if you don't know that, now you do. And I know for a lot of us, it's hard to think about taking that step, even if it's, you know, people we've known for a while. So if we could just bow our heads, I want to ask the Lord to instill within us an extra, I don't know, extra dosage of courage and anointing and timing to know who to invite, because we want to be faithful. We want to honor the Lord by walking out the things that we've been asked to do. So sometimes we just need a little beep in the...
Yeah. Bless
okay.
That.
All right. So Father, we thank you that you are with us. Holy Spirit, we ask for you to strengthen us. Give us the resolve. Give us the timing. Give us the words. Mm-hmm. We read this Bible that is full of you taking people who are unqualified. They have no qualifications for what you ask them to do, but yet you work through them. And there's probably most of us in this house right now that feel like we are unqualified to take that step of faith. So would you make a way where there doesn't seem to be one? So bring the words and bring the timing. Father, we want to see your kingdom come, and we want to honor you and the call you've placed on each of our lives by walking out in faith. So thank you in advance. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So the other announcement is that, you know, he talked about Easter Sunday, is that we're going to have a sunrise service at Fiddler Pond at 7:15 a.m. It's going to be a nice, warm morning. As long as you stay close to the fire pit. Okay? Close to the fire pit, then you'll stay warm. If you're behind in the second row, you're probably not going to be very warm. And then a small breakfast here at 8:30 in the living room. And then prayer here at 9:30, like the elders meet here. And anyone is invited to come to be part of that prayer time at 9:30. And then our service will begin at 10 a.m. Okay? Just so you're aware. Yes, ma'am.
Sunday school that morning.
And there will not be any Sunday school that morning to make room for the other things that we have going on. All right? So just so you know. All right. Great. You know, before I begin into the message, that we sang a song this morning that really just touched me. And it says, and I took pictures of the lyrics, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name. Born and raised back to life again, I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? Hallelujah, you buried my past, I'm not going back. Think about those lyrics as I'm sharing the word. Again, I have no idea what song we were going to sing, but you will find elements of this song in the message. Why is that? It's not because of me. Holy Spirit is doing a work in us at multiple levels to make connections. You know, he's a genius, don't you know? So, when I last spoke, I asked a question at the end of the message, and I don't know if anyone could even remember, it was a few weeks ago since I last spoke. But the question was this: am I set in my ways, or am I willing to let Jesus speak to my heart issues? Do you remember that question? That was the question. Am I set in my ways, or am I willing to let Jesus speak truth to my heart issues? And every person here has to ask that question. Can I honestly ask Jesus to search my heart? And I don't have the clicker. Here we go. I don't have a person to click for me. All right, so. And there's the verse, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that offends you. You see, if I'm not willing to ask the question, then I'm convinced that I've figured out my life. Have you figured out your life? Right? And if I haven't figured it out, then I need to submit myself to a process that can reveal where I'm really at this point in my life. And that might include others speaking into your life. Right? So, and if I am willing, then I can make this statement. I give you permission to point out anything in my life that offends you. Now, this verse that you see on the screen says, it talks about anxious thoughts, but could there be other things that offend God? Could there be things like hatred, vengeance, right? And sometimes you may not even act out on the vengeance, but it might be something that you play the scenario in your mind, and you waste a lot of time doing so, right? And you might do it multiple times. Or maybe it's pride or fear or unforgiveness. These are things that can offend God, right? So, and you may wonder, Fernando, what has this got to do with the title, which is, what was the title again? What lies have you believed? I think it's how I put it. I gave multiple titles, so I couldn't remember exactly which one. How has the enemy lied to us? How has the enemy lied to us, right? And so you may say, well, what does this all have to do with lies? Well, here's the thing. When we don't want to face what's going on in our own lives, guess who's lying? I am lying to myself. I am deceiving myself. And eventually, I can't tell the truth from a lie. Or I can't tell the difference between good or evil, right? And so it's important that we not only do we crave spiritual milk, right? But that we continue on from spiritual milk to spiritual meat, solid food, right? Because you can't grow up and be strong if you're just going to go on milk all your life. You eventually have to get to the meat. And so the scripture says here, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, who is doing the training?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit is doing the training. Who else is involved?
Me.
Me, right? It's by my constant use. So I have a choice. Am I going to use it occasionally? Occasionally I'm going to eat some meat. Occasionally I'm going to eat solid food. Or by continuously, as a habit, I am going to eat solid food so I can be trained and know, oh, I recognize that. That's not from God. This over here, this is from God, right? I need to make a choice on a daily basis that I'm going to go for that. Does that make sense? All right, so here, the last time I spoke, I mentioned this book, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table, which I'm doing a study with some men here, and all the men are welcome to come, not the women, but the men. And there are five lies that Pastor Louis Giglio mentions. He says, the lie of comparison, the lie that you are doomed, the lie of worthlessness, the lie of me against the world, and the lie that there's no way out. Today, I'm just going to talk about the first three. All right? So, now, depending on how you compare yourself, now, tell me, am I the only one who compares himself to another person? Right? Have you ever compared yourself? Like, you know, to a parent, right? To a sibling, to a coworker. There's many ways that one can compare oneself, right? Now, and if I do compare myself, what happens? I can easily get distracted, and I can use up a lot of time because I haven't focused on who is me, who am I, and who am I meant to be, right? Now, I like to watch people who preach online. But I can't clone them so I can sound like them. That wouldn't be good, would it? Right? Kevin mentioned it last week, right? You can only be me, right? I can only be me is what you said last week, right? And that's good. And that's freeing, isn't it? Right, Kevin? And you helped him free himself of those thoughts that want to distract Kevin. And so here it is. How do I know that I am to be uniquely me? And how do you know that you are to be uniquely you? Huh? Through the word, somebody said, right? And what does it say here? For we are God's masterpiece, He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. In other words, he has prepared things that only Phil can do, that only Mike can do, that only Tasha can do, that only Leslie can do. I can't do the things that she does. And she wasn't meant to do the things that I do, right? So you got to help discover what those things are. God has something specifically for you to do because he's created you in a very unique way, right? So the key word here is masterpiece, right? Sometimes the word says handiwork, right? In the Greek, the word is poema. Poema. Now, I find that interesting because in Espanol, we have the same word, poema. Do you know what it means? Poem. Poem. So we have the same word without the A in English, right? In Spanish, it's with the A, poema. And we know, okay, so if the Greek word is poema, it means something that's unique, right? No two poems are alike, right? Otherwise, it's not really a poem, right? And if you take a poem and you make it a lyrical song, what happens? It has to be unique as well. It has to be one of a kind. And if someone tries to copy that song that you wrote, right, that you produced, that you recorded, right, and say, this is mine, what's going to happen? There's going to be a copyright infringement. There's going to be a lawsuit to say who was first with that song, right? And so why is that important? It's considered creative intellectual property, right? Guess what, guys? Each and every one of you are considered God's creative property. God's unique intellectual property. So you were never meant to be him and her or whatever. You're meant to be you. And so if you don't spend time learning who you're supposed to be, you're going to waste a lot of time in your life. Days are going to go by, weeks are going to go by, months, years. All because, and it applies even to situations when you're a twin like Patty, right? You were never meant to be like Peg, and Peg's never been meant to be you. You're unique. So the question is, have I asked God, what was I meant to do for your kingdom? Or am I busy just wanting to do what someone else is doing simply because I like what they're doing because it's fun, right? Or I like to do what they're doing because that's made them popular, right? Or I would like to do what that person's doing because it's made him famous. What's the motive, folks? So here's another comparison that we can waste our time doing, and that is when the enemy of our souls says that the solution to your problem is somewhere else. Where he says, hey, if you just go over here, that'll solve your problem. It's not where you're at right now. It's not in your current situation. If you get out of that situation, it'll solve your problem. Or even worse yet, if the enemy of your soul says, your solution is to not be with that person, but to be with that person over there. To walk away from a relationship. Right? But here's the thing. My solution is to run away from my current problems? Is that what the enemy's saying? That my solution is to run away from my current problems. But what is the problem, or what is the thing if really, I'm the problem? What if I'm the problem? Now, just, I'm going to give you a little story. You know, when I lived in Puerto Rico, I used to have a lot of traveling teams coming into Puerto Rico and who were not bilingual. And so they sent me to the airport. They sent me to the airport with a sign with whoever was coming with their name, because I've never met that person. And I would hold up the sign, right? You ever seen those signs when you go to the airport? Somebody's there to pick you up that you don't know. But because they have your name, you trust that, and you say, okay, that's who's supposed to pick me up, and I'm going to go, right? And so I go to there, and I hold up a sign, and I say, I'm going to go pick up this person, right? So I'm at the airport, and I say, oh, that's the guy. I'm supposed to pick him up. And he looks at the sign, and then he doesn't look at me and decides he doesn't want to acknowledge. Now, why? Why is that? Because the thing is, you can go from where you live, hop on a plane, go to another country, and say, I'm going to get away from my problem, only to discover that at the airport, somebody's there holding the sign saying, your problem is right here waiting for you. It's waiting for you. You didn't get rid of it. You still have it. Changing locations didn't solve anything. Think about that. Your problem is meant to be resolved. It's not to be ignored. And you can't run away from it, because it goes with you wherever you go. It might seem like it disappeared, but it really didn't. All right, the next lie. Just think about this statement. Now, you may have never said that this next lie is, you are doomed. How many of you have ever said, I am doomed? Maybe one or two people, right? But it's not common, right? You're not going to just blurt it out. You're gonna make a hint about it. Say it by the side of your mouth. It's going to be very subtle. But it might sound like this. I just don't know if, and would you help me finish the sentence? I just don't know if what? Things will ever change. Yeah. How many have said that? If things will ever change. Okay. Right. What else? I just don't know if I can take it anymore. Anything else? I'll ever get over it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anything else? Russell?
I don't know if I want to.
I don't know if I want to. Right? Right? There might be a stubbornness in my heart that says, I'm holding my ground. Okay, so I had written down, I don't know if I can make it through this week. I don't know if I can make it at this job. I don't know if I can make it in this school. I don't know if I can make it in this relationship. These are all subtle ways of saying, I'm in doom. Right? So if you have said that, maybe the better question you should ask is, where did that thought come from? Where did that thought come from? Because, see, we've been talking about the fact that there are voices that want to influence our life. We have the voice of our old nature that before we knew Jesus, we did whatever we wanted to, or we didn't know what to think, right? We just, right? Or we go back to our bad old habits, right? There's that voice that from the enemy who just says, you are no good. You're not worth anything. Or maybe the culture that you live in right now, the trending culture. Doesn't our culture change from week to week, month to month, giving us an identity crisis? But here's the question. Would that sound like God? Would God say, I just don't know if? Does that sound like God? Would God plant what if scenarios in your life? In your head? You know, God inspired King David to say something in Psalms 23. And Psalms 23 is almost as famous as John 3:16. And there's a verse that says, it starts out with the words, even though. Can you finish that sentence for me? Even though. Even though I, what? Walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. There's the reason, right? So God has intentions of giving you a, even though I will not fear, attitude. So my question is, do you have that attitude? Do you own that attitude? Do you use that attitude when you encounter something that's difficult? Do you say, even though I will not fear? Because that's what you're meant to do. When you encounter something that's tough, that's rough, that's overwhelming. Right? So, and Leslie answered it. Even though my life is rough right now, God is with me. I'm not alone. He's with me. Right? You might be a lamb, but you're walking with a lion. Right? You might be a lamb, but you're walking with a lion. You walk in the lion's shadow. So in other words, God is calling you to walk through the valley, not to the valley. In other words, the valley is not your final destination. The valley is simply the journey of where you're walking through. That's what you have to keep in mind. That's what you have to remind yourself anytime you find yourself in a tough place. See, God is the God of breakthrough, not simply the God who wants to rescue. He does like to rescue, but he wants more to provide breakthrough because you were meant to be overcomers. Yes. The scripture says we are more than conquerors, right? Yes. We are overcomers. And so, here's another example. Have you ever prayed, oh God, would you please be with so-and-so? Would you please be with this person and that person and this? Have you ever prayed those prayers? Yeah. I have. Yeah. Now, has God already answered those prayers?
Yes.
We just read it in that verse, right? God will be with me. So why am I praying that prayer? Let's alter the prayer a little bit. Would you be willing to do that? Instead of saying, God, would you be with them? Say, God, I thank you that you are with that person. I'm declaring something that's true, even though I have not seen it maybe with my own eyes. Yeah. But I declare it anyway, right? So, spending more time expressing faith in my prayer than I am spending time expressing doubt. Now, is there a time for doubt in your prayers? Of course there is. There's a lamenting prayers. You see that in the book of Psalms. But God would rather have you be spending more time expressing your faith. And see, I'm praying prayers for my family that I have not seen become real in the natural realm. But that doesn't stop me from praying them as if they did exist already. And we can see that when you look at this next slide here. I already said that one. There it is. You see, because I want to be like Abraham. And in the book of Romans, verse 4:17 is one of my favorite verses. It's because I want to believe in a God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So you need to identify what are those things in your life that you want to see happen that have not yet happened, but you proclaim them every day to say, God, I believe this is true about this family member and that family member. Because you, God, did the very same thing. You, in Genesis 1, said, let there be. And there was. That's our vocabulary that God has given us to express the likeness of his son in the lives of those who are around us. And now I want to get to the third lie, and that is the lie of worthlessness. Now, that lie can be expressed in many different ways. One is, you're not good enough. Has anyone ever told you that? You are useless. Has anyone ever told you that? Here's a third one. You are never going to amount to anything. And then here's the kicker. And so don't even bother trying. That's adding insult to injury. These are all lies. That's why today we're saying, what lies have you believed? Have you believed any of these lies? I think each and every one of us has believed one variation of these lies that you see already here on the screen. Right? Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
I was recently told, Fernando, you're useless. And that comment cut into me like a knife. I felt like it was stabbed. But see, all these comments are meant to do that. They're meant to cut you to pieces so there's nothing left of you to be recognized. I had to leave that comment at the foot of Jesus. And I have had to say no to that comment and declare, you do not define me. Only Jesus does. So when you hear one of these lies, you need to say the same thing. You lie, do not define me. Only Jesus has permission to do that. There's a very interesting quote that's in this book. And I'm going to read it to you now. And it says this. What is important to remember about our enemy is that he wants to crush you. He wants to steal from you everything you value. He wants to kill everything in your life that's good. If he can claim the victory over your mind, he can claim your life. But you don't have to let the enemy do that. For you have been invited into an intimate relationship with the God Almighty. Your good shepherd has set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And the enemy has not been invited to sit down at this table. So then my question is, how should we individually and corporately respond to that invitation? Well, we should accept the invitation and we should sit down. And we should be fully present for a good long period of time. Now, this may not be you, but I know that when I've received that invitation, I've taken it lightly. And so when the Lord presents, let's say, a table and he's in a restaurant and he has all this food before you, I say, I'm going to go through the drive-thru instead of taking my seat at the table. Don't go through the drive-thru to get the food, because it's not really about the food. It's about who you're with. And if I go through the drive-thru, guess what? That leaves room for the enemy to sit at the table in your place. So allow him time to examine your heart and ask him, Jesus, what lies have I believed? What lies have I believed? How do I get back on your path? Here's the question. How can I get back on your path? The scripture says here in Psalms 40, verse 2, he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. We don't always know that we're in a pit of despair. We don't know that we're in mud. We don't even know that we're in mire. But he says, he will set my feet on solid ground and steady me as I walk along. As you walk along, he's steadying you when you don't have the strength in your feet yet. So here are some questions that we can ask ourselves. What truth from your word do I need to establish in my life? It's not just the fact of just hearing the word, right? Or saying the word. You need to establish something from his word in your heart and mind. You could ask him, is it about your love? Do I need to know more about your love that I'm sort of waffling on? Is it about your joy or your peace or your patience? What is it that God needs to establish as a foothold, a stronghold in your heart that says this is true and that's a lie? I say yes to your truth and I say no to your lie, to the lies. And here's another question. What needs redefining in my thought life or in my emotions? And here's a prayer that I came up with. And this is me just declaring the truth. And you guys can do the same thing. God, if you are for me, who can be against me? You did not spare your own son, and you graciously give me all things. Then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and everything I could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in me by your divine power. That is a truth that you can take with you, and you can say that. We are meant to personalize the scripture. Now, there's a danger in that you might take it out of context. But I can always say in John 3:16, for God so loved me that he gave me his son, that if I would believe in him, I would not perish, but I would have everlasting life. I'm staying in context, am I not? But I'm applying it to me. I'm not saying, for God so loved Leslie, which is true, but it would be a lie for me to say, for God loves Leslie, but he doesn't love me. It has to apply to me as well. All right. I've gone a little bit long. Are you willing to stick with me to watch a video?
Yes.
Okay. Now, last night we watched The Chosen. And, you know, little James approaches Jesus in this video and says, why haven't you healed me? And you want me to heal other people. Now, he came to his own conclusions as to why God did it or didn't do it, right? But God says, I'm going to tell you from my perspective why I haven't healed you yet. And it doesn't mean that just because I haven't healed you yet and you're going to heal other people, that you're not going to get healed, because you are. Right? Because in Isaiah it says, his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. It means I don't get it all the time. You don't get it all the time. And that's okay. God's patient with that, the fact that you don't get it. But little by little, he reveals it. So let's watch the video and think about how does God renew his thought life about how he sees himself and why God hasn't healed him yet.
Master.
Little James.
May I have a moment?
Of course.
I am. Forgive me, I'm not always confident to speak.
Slow to speak. It's a very good quality.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Please.
So you're sending us out with the ability to heal the sick and lame. Yes, that is what you said.
Yes.
So you're telling me that I have the ability to heal. Forgive me, I just find that difficult to imagine with my condition, which you haven't healed.
Do you want to be healed?
Yes, of course, if that's possible.
I think you've seen enough to know it's possible.
Then why haven't you?
Because I trust you.
What?
Little James. Precious little James. I need you to listen to me very carefully. Because what I'm going to say defines your whole life to this point and will define the rest of your life. Do you understand? In the Father's will, I could heal you right now. And you'd have a good story to tell, yes?
Yes, that you do miracles.
And that's a good story. But there are already dozens who can tell that story. And there will be hundreds more, even thousands. But think of the story that you have, especially in this journey to come, if I don't heal you. To know how to proclaim that you still praise God in spite of this. To know how to focus on all that matters, so much more than the body. To show people that you can be patient with your suffering here on earth because you know you'll spend eternity with no suffering. Not everyone can understand that. How many people do you think the Father and I trust this with? Not many.
But the others, they're so much more.
So much more what?
I don't know. Stronger? Better at this?
James, I love you. But I don't want to hear that ever again.
I know how easy it is to say the Song of David. That I fearfully and wonderfully made. But it doesn't make this any easier. And in this group, it doesn't make me feel like any less of a burden.
A burden? First of all, it is far easier to deal with your slow walking than it is to deal with Simon's temper.
Trust me.
Are you fast? Do you look impressive when you walk? Maybe not. But these are things the Father doesn't care about. You are going to do more for me than most people ever dream. So many people need healing in order to believe in me. Or they need healing because their hearts are so sick. That doesn't apply to you. And many are healed or not healed because the Father in heaven has a plan for them, which may be a mystery. And we remember what Job said. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you pass from this earth, and you meet your Father in heaven, where Isaiah promises you will leap like a deer, your reward will be great. So hold on a little longer. And when you discover yourself finding true strength because of your weakness, and when you do great things in my name, in spite of this, the impact will last for generations. Do you understand?
Yes.
Man like you, healing others. Oh, what a sight. I can't wait to hear your stories when you return.
Shall
you will be healed. It's only a matter of time. Shalom, my son.
Shalom.
Father, we thank you that each and every one of us are being healed, that it's only a matter of time. That you trust us enough to say, even if my prayer is not being answered when I think it should be answered, yet I will praise you. I will acknowledge you. And that you define me in ways that go beyond any human knowledge. And so I look for you to define my heart, my mind, all that's within me. That you desire to do that with each and every one here today. And so I bless each and every one of you, knowing that God's words will speak to your heart. They will define your life if you allow it. And that he trusts you to continue to follow him, praise him, and give him your life, even if your prayers are not answered in the way you think they should be answered. And just as he said, you will eventually be healed. I bless all of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you are dismissed.